Hello, my name is Amanda, and this is my story of growth in God through my grief. If you had met me when I was young, you would have thought I led a normal life. I was a small, rambunctious girl with lots of friends who adored soccer and music, but that was the farthest thing from the truth. My childhood was marked by confusion, pain, and fear. My nuclear family consisted of my father, mother, and my older sister, Jessica. My parents were extremely emotionally and psychologically abusive, as well as fought almost constantly. Most of my memories as a child are of me being woken up in the middle of the night from them yelling and throwing things. I only have two memories of them ever embracing or saying they loved each other. They rarely mentioned God to us and never took us to church. While my home represented constant fear, my extended family showed immense love. I was fortunate enough to live 5 minutes away from my father's parents, grandmother and granddaddy, as well as close enough for day trips to see aunts, uncles, and cousins. In my mind, my real home and safe haven was my grandparents' house. They were loving, caring, sympathetic, selfless, and taught me about Jesus. My grandmother would read to me at night about Jesus and constantly talk about what he did. I had a lot of questions, though. How could this man who was supposedly real and loved me not be present at all in my home life? I was skeptical at best, but I respected my grandparents above all else and would silently listen. My parents' fighting got worse until they finally divorced when I was in seventh grade. At first I was relieved, but this was short-lived. With the divorce, my sister decided to cut off my dad's entire family, therefore leaving me as my parents' sole manipulative tool over each other. I became so depressed between this and trying to keep up an image of perfection at school that I decided God wasn't real, he couldn't save me, and that I needed to end my life. Luckily, God was not done with me yet, and I couldn't carry out my plan of suicide. I decided to change my strategy and attempt to control everyone and everything around me. That way, I couldn't get hurt and I would know all the outcomes. I began trying to mend my relationship with both my parents while clinging closer and closer to my extended family. Their love and support was constant and never failing. During this time, my grandmother became my rock. I started to call her Molly Brown because she was my unsinkable ship in life. I would spend all of my free time with her, watching Audrey Hepburn movies and fawning over Humphrey Bogart. We developed our own language of random sound effects that only we could understand, and I would sing her songs at night, in my mind repaying her for the comfort she granted me. I began to consider the idea of trusting God, but not until I finished college. I thought I might try him out. After all, he had given me my extended family, and my relationship with my parents was slowly getting better. When I went to college, I went wild, free from the pressure I felt at home. I did all of the stereotypical college things, from partying, drinking, to going to class hungover. However, I always felt inner pain whenever I would do this, and could cry to my RA the next day. I knew that this lifestyle wasn't for me, and I was afraid of what I had become. My RA, Haley, was very involved in Watermark and convinced me to come to church with her. And when I say convinced, I mean knocked on my door until I opened it so she could take me. I was shocked to find love, compassion, and this God that my grandmother had taught me of when I was growing up. I accepted Christ at the 128 Fall Retreat my freshman year. It was the first time where I had heard the gospel in its entirety. I learned that because we are sinners, we are disconnected from God. Jesus died for our sins to save us from death and to restore our relationship with God. It was through his grace that I am alive. I remember that I prayed, God, I give you my life. I give up control to you. I have lost myself following my own desires. Obviously, I was wrong, and I am done fighting you, the one who sacrificed it all to save me. After I prayed this, I felt like I had just opened my eyes for the first time. After I gave my life to Christ, everything seemed relatively easy. I would describe my faith as smooth sailing with nothing to challenge it or test it for 2 years. However, that quickly changed. April 2013 hit my family like a hurricane. I was at the top of my game in college when I received a voicemail from my dad that my Aunt Maudie had died. Aunt Maudie was grandmother's closest sister, and I had spent countless nights with her throughout my childhood. It was a complete surprise to everyone, and my world began to crack. My friends were there for me trying to help, which I appreciated, but none of them had experienced death, so I felt like there was a wall between us. 1 week later, I woke up from a nap with a terrible feeling. I never wake up without alarms, so I was concerned about what had pulled me from my depressed sleep. My dad called me 1 minute later, crying hysterically, telling me that my grandmother, my precious Molly Brown, had passed away. Her last words were, "I care about all my grandchildren, but I love Amanda. I'm going to sleep now." I couldn't think. There was no way my perfect rock and comforter had died on me. My dad came up to SMU and we cried together on a bench until I was so tired I fell right asleep. I couldn't figure out who would fill the void she had left in my heart, and I was frantic. The funeral was 3 days later, and I was asked to be the final speaker. Everyone hung to the words I said because they knew I had been the closest to her. Instead of truly explaining the decay that my heart was feeling, I told encouraging stories to comfort everyone else and led a sing-along to her favorite song, Amazing Grace. I held my grandfather while he cried uncontrollably in the pews, asking God why he took her from him. I refused to sing from that day forward. Again, my friends were there, but less so. They felt so uncomfortable that most just hugged me, said they would help however they could, but secretly prayed that I would never cash in on their offer. Exactly 1 week later, my cousin Sean got into a fight with his wife and hung himself in his garage. I lost all feeling in my body when I found out. My friends didn't know what to say, so they just left. After so much death, I became a taboo at school because no one wanted their perfect bubble to be broken like mine had been. The next 3 months of my life were dedicated to keeping my grandfather alive. I stayed with him the whole summer, trying to convince him that God had a plan for him and that life was worth living without my grandmother. He cried 4 times a day and would watch Disney movies constantly. When I didn't know how to mend his broken heart, I secretly became angry at him for being unable to control himself. I resented my family for leaving me with him, assuming that I was the strongest and could heal him. The week I went back to college for RA training my senior year, he died. They let me kiss him goodbye before he was removed from the hospital. I called all of my family to let them know because my father could not function. This time I held my father while he cried for justification from God at the funeral. I couldn't bring myself to speak at Granddaddy's funeral because I was so defeated. After he died, my family made me a sort of stand-in matriarch because I was the closest to my grandparents. I made a lot of the final decisions about the burial. There is something inherently haunting about being 20 years old and having a funeral home know you by face and first name. 1 week later, a relative in Mississippi died. I don't think I could accurately portray to you the extent of my depression, numbness, and defeat from losing everyone in my life that I felt had cared for me. I decided the best way to deal with my grief and anguish was to hide at work, but be angry and depressed behind closed doors. At work, I was professional, but as soon as I was off the clock, I hid in my room, waiting for an excuse to lash out at anyone near me. I relished the day that someone would ask me how I was doing, or for them to do something wrong, so I had an excuse to blow up at them. I was angry at anyone who tried to relate to my grief, whether it be my family, my dance teammates, etc. How could any of them really understand my pain at losing what I thought was my life? I was quick to point out how their attempts at relating were viewed as an insult and to leave me alone. Happy people made me the angriest because I wanted everyone to hurt like I was. I acted like a wild animal, but secretly I was suffocating on the inside because I didn't know who to turn to anymore. I couldn't even find rest because I would have dreams where my grandparents were alive, hugging me, and then awaken to the nightmare that they weren't. There was no one that I was more angry at than God. I felt betrayed by him. I had just began to trust him, and as soon as I gave him that, he ripped all my safety and stability out from beneath me. I needed help, but I was at the end of my rope and didn't know how to ask. Thankfully, Despite my harmful behavior, I did keep a few friends who were active in Watermark. They suggested I go to GriefShare, and I shot it down before they could even get the words out. I was used to perfection and having to be the strong one for my family. I didn't want anyone to know how badly I was hurting and for people to take advantage of my weaknesses. Plus, the idea of verbalizing deaths was inconceivable. They finally stopped suggesting and drove me to Watermark themselves. I will always be grateful for their stubbornness and direction that day. Before I even stepped foot into GriefShare, I had a chip on my shoulder and my walls up. In the open group, I quickly noticed I was the youngest participant that round. I assumed everyone would think, oh, she's so young, she doesn't know what grief is, and brush away my feelings as petty immaturity. But I didn't find that. I found lots of people who were just as wounded as I was and wanted to diminish their grief just as badly. I felt at home because it was the first time I walked into a room and I didn't feel like there was a blinking sign above me that said, I've experienced death, run away. It was like the veil had been lifted and the elephant was welcomed in the room at GriefShare. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I began to feel the first glimmers of comfort here. I sat through my first video and testimony, which was Tracy's, where I learned that struggling with anger was not as rare as I believed it to be. It brought me huge relief. In my first group meeting, I was hesitant to share. I came in at week 3 and expected everyone to already be grouped off and not want to deal with me. Also, I expected to be judged because I thought people would assume that since I was primarily angry, I had not properly cared for my family. Again, I was wrong. The group was welcoming, and I was relieved to find God had given me a leader who had similar struggles. Even though I was encouraged the first night, I almost didn't return. I was letting my pride get the best of me by saying I didn't really need this course, I was weak by attending, and I could handle grief on my own. Nothing was farther from the truth. Luckily, my leader reached out and encouraged me to come back. I came back because I was a people pleaser, but was not happy about it. I kept trying to make excuses on the way about traffic or not finding a parking space because of the porch, but God gave me a traffic-free commute. I stuck with GriefShare and made it all the way through, now counting it as one of the biggest blessings in my life. First, I learned that it was okay, and even normal in some cases, to be angry and hurt because I loved my family passionately. Second, it was vital to learn that God did not want us to experience death, but He will carry us through it. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former has passed away." I found it so comforting to know that one day Jesus will come and reunite us with the Lord, therefore saving us for eternity and ending the pain and experience of death once and for all. Finally, I learned that no matter how hard I try, I cannot replace God with people. Even though I hate to admit it, I did that with my extended family, namely Molly Brown. Instead of having faith, I replaced God with mortal people, not relying on the one in charge of all eternity. It was the most difficult lesson, but now I understand that God is where I must put my faith all the time. That doesn't mean I love my family any less. It just means that we are all sons and daughters of God. He is the one that saved us and can heal us. My life is very different after 2013 because I'm getting used to the new normal. I know that my faith can only be placed in God and that He will pull me through. Even though I still get angry, it is much less often and not as severe. My relationship with my parents is better than ever, with my dad accepting Christ and my mom being open about her faith more and more. I've began to share memories and sing again, most notably a duet for my friend's brother's funeral. I still haven't been able to visit any of the grave sites, but I'm taking my time building that strength for another occasion, and that's okay. Until I have the ability to visit, I salute my grandfather's grave and blow a kiss to my grandmother's when I drive past the military cemetery where they are buried. Finally, I have been lucky enough to serve at GriefShare where I can talk about my family in such a raw manner and support others who are hurting because they loved their family or anyone they knew well also. If you are a newcomer tonight, welcome. Thank you for entrusting your Tuesday night to us. I don't care if you drove yourself or if someone had to force you to come, like my situation. I am so thankful you are here. We have all been in your shoes, and you are one step closer to having that grief load lightened. Don't be like me, closed off and looking for a fight because you are running from your own confusion and fear. Try to be open and willing to share in your group. What you are going through is so valuable, and your words can be a beacon of light for others. Know that relief isn't instantaneous, and you'll never be cured of grief. As Nancy Guthrie has said in the videos, grief is not something you overcome, but something you learn to work through. Finally, keep coming back. If you think you are too strong for this program, keep coming. If you think you are too weak, keep coming. The people, stories, and scriptures you read are worth every second, and it is a vital part of your healing process to share. If you had told me 2 years ago that I would be sharing my story of grief and pain in front of a room full of people, I would have thought you were crazy. But here I am, sharing my heart, because the change God worked in me is worth telling. God turned my grief into something that can bring comfort and joy to others. He can do the same for you. Thank you.